There's been so many things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Listen, we're talking about, at where we are now in our lives and, you know, scientific facts versus faith. Does it have to be versus? Can we have both? And whether or not, you know, I mean, things are changing in our lives. The churches, the temples, the synagogues, the mosques, they're all filled with, for the most part, with older people. When I was a young boy, they were filled with young children, too. Not the case anymore. What are your thoughts? Let's go to Curtis from West Dallas. Hey, Curtis, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Earl, how are you doing? Excellent topic, I must say. Because let me tell you, my boyfriend and I have been together for 10 years. And he refuses to walk into church since 2015, because when the evangelical backed up Trump, and they basically said, we don't care that he did all these things, we all know what he did. He said, I refuse to go to church anymore. He's 36 years old. He said he'll never walk into church ever again. He goes, because they're all hypocrites. So my mom, she's all mad about it. And she said to him, she said, what the heck? Why aren't you going to church anymore? He said, it's just a building. He says, I can pray. It says in the Bible, four or more in my name. We'll pray, we'll answer. And the thing behind it, he goes, I became a witness. And she's like, oh my gosh, you became a Jehovah's Witness? He said, no, I became a witness of all these poo-poos around me. So that's kind of crazy. As far as the church goes, I go to church every Sunday because my aunt can't go to church, so I go for her communion. But it's the thing behind it is you have to feel it spiritually, but I really feel sorry for the world, because if the churches don't change and come up to par with the kids, the young people, they're going to fall apart. Like, if you look around, I mean, when I was a kid, there was a church on every corner.
True.
And now these churches, like the church on West Dallas, just sold a Catholic church. Another church went up for sale, you know. You got the church on 43rd, that just went up for sale.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
It's because, you know, and I don't want to condemn anybody. This is not about condemning people who are in church because, you know, the people who are in church, God bless them, you know, because they're trying to make their lives right. And so I would never condemn people who are in church. As a matter of fact, I say we need to have more people in those religious institutions, at least early on in their lives, because it gives them a foundation. And we've got too many young people now who don't have those foundations, and so they can do some of the heinous things that we see happening. I wish I had more time, Curtis. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you. Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, thank you very much. You say what, sir?
Hey, Earl. The church is a vehicle to get you closer to God. And if you are not feeling closer to God by going to church, then you know what? Maybe you need to take a break from church. The whole point is, you know, I can go to the gym on Sunday morning and have a community of people that are very positive and, you know, very good. And, you know, that can be your church. It's just the church is a vehicle that gets you closer to God. And the other thing is, I think Jesus said for a reason about the money changers, which is really the only place in the Bible that Jesus really got angry, was at the money changers, that's what's happened. This has become a moneymaker for a lot of people. And they're not even teaching what Jesus Christ stood for. You know, I am a Christian because I'm a, Jesus Christ is my role model. He didn't judge anyone. He loved everyone. My God, he was the original liberal and, you know, bleeding heart liberal. And that's exactly how it is that I try to live my life after. So, yeah, I would say if people are not going to church, the reason why they're not going to church is there's been a lot of distrust that has been gone
Tom, and I just don't want to put it solely on the church. That's why I said mosque, synagogue, temple. It is the same. People are not in religious houses because something has happened to take them out of them. And I don't think we're better off not being there, right? I think it was a better society when people had those connections.
Yeah, Earl, I'm going to chime in here and agree with you. You know, from my history, I had a certain set of guardrails, I guess, that I lived through. And I appreciate your comments, Tom, and some of the other callers that, you know, to have a spiritual connection with your creator, you don't have to be in that building, okay? But it's a great place to get a baseline of where to start and to lead your life as a child and have a certain amount of rules and regulations. So you know where the out of bounds line is.
Right.
You know what I mean, man? You know, and I think there's a certain amount of respect for that sort of teaching and philosophy. Don't you, Earl? What do you think?
Well, so Johnny, I'm 100% in agreement with you. I live in a city where there are young people who, for heaven's sakes, a 15-year-old boy got killed yesterday. Some fool with a gun who has clearly no spiritual foundation, shot five girls and five young women and a boy. And I can't believe that person had any spiritual foundation. Last night, a 15-year-old boy, in the midst of robbing an adult, the adult refused to give him whatever it was he wanted. He pulled out the gun. They have it on a video. He shot the man because the man didn't give him what he wanted.
Yeah.
No spiritual foundation.
Yeah.
So that is, I would be foolish to say that we don't need to have that. And I think the younger that a person is, raise up a child in Tom, you probably know, raise up a child, and I forgot the part of it, and he won't depart from you. I forgot the rest of it. I'm getting old. But I used to know what that was, but what it means is, and I can't quote it exactly, but if you invite a young person early on in life and build a spiritual foundation with that young person, that young person maybe as they get older will be willing to move away from it. But clearly, if you never give that young person a foundation, then that's the person who can take a gun and go into schools and shoot up the schools and shoot up the kids. Tom?
Well, the problem is that there's too much politicking going on in the church again.
That's
I know
true.
My family has left the church because of a woman's, you know, right to choose in the church, basically saying that people are, you know, murderers if they do choose to terminate a pregnancy. So they have left the church, and they've left the church because it's not teaching what it is that, you know, Jesus talked about and what he preached about. So the I'm sorry, but the synagogue, the mosque, all these different places have to take the responsibility that they are the leaders of this thing. And I do agree with you that when you have a community of people that all are in the same positive energy source, that when that happens, that is something that's transcendental. It is a great thing, and it does make you feel closer to
God. That's the way I grew up,
and it does
up,
make you feel closer to the spirit. But the thing is, now it's about making a buck. It's about tithing. It's about the Pat Robertsons of the world, and anybody that goes and develops a church just so they can get a tax break.
Well, you know Tom,
where they don't have to pay. The only people that should be getting a tax break are really monks.
You know,
they're
Tom,
the only ones that
and
truly
it does and
there.
It doesn't help when you say I'm evangelical and I support Donald Trump, and you do away with all the tenets of Christianity because you're talking about one man. You know what I mean? That's kind of a hard you know, that's a hard one to wrap your arms around.
I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me.
That's
number one commandment. And these people are breaking the number one commandment by putting Donald Trump onto a godlike status. So yeah. All these people that are out there that, oh, my God, he's the God. You are all committing the number one commandment.
Yeah. Well, what a poignant comment there, Tom.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, all religions have their shortcomings. None of them are perfect. Have to go to a break. Tom from West Dallas, we'll get you on the other side. Phone lines are open. There's room for you. 844-967-2789. Loving the conversation. We're not going to sentence you to hell if you, you know, agree with us. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
The children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my need. A lonely place to be. So I learned to depend on me.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, a listener gave me what I was looking for when I had the senior moment. Raise up a child in the way they should go, and then they grow up. They will not depart from it. So thank you very much for that. And if you're just joining us, I'm really having a conversation about, you know, scientific facts or faith. You know, we're at a point in time in our lives where the religious houses are not full the way they once were, and they're only full of, and the people who are in them are those in our generation and not young people. And my take and belief is that we are better off, and we're better off as a society when we had people in those houses of worship and we didn't have what we're dealing with today. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Hey, Tom, thank you very much. Really appreciate your call. You say what, sir?
Good morning. I just wanted to point out you were talking about kids and spirituality and all that.
I have a job that gets me into a lot of churches around town here. And I'll tell you, I've gone into some of these mega storefront, or used to be like Pick and Saves, whatever, churches. One of them has a golden Excalibur in their lobby. And others, you know, there's another church that the pastor built this palace in in River Hills, and wanted to do some church stuff in that house. And River Hills, of course, said absolutely not. And we know that he was doing that for a tax break. But, you know, I just wonder, when I look at all that, and what are kids learning in these mega churches like that, where they have hundreds and hundreds of parishioners going to, and they see materialistic things in front of them, and they want that, but they're growing up poor. So their only way, I believe, is, well, I shouldn't say it like that, but they don't, they see all this, they can't get it because they don't have the money.
So, Tom, let me say this to you. I agree that there clearly are prosperity preachers who have taught and preached prosperity. But at the same time, the Catholic Church is the wealthiest church on the face of the earth. And so it is, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, the denominations and the differences in these churches don't help, you know. And yes, prosperity preaching is something that, you know, is I've never read about. But there are people who believe in it, and it goes back to Pat Robertson, and all of those people. They've been doing this for a long time. So you know,
same with the evangelicals who are out there preaching all this stuff that I don't, you know, they're teaching repression. They're teaching, it's our way or no way. We don't believe in any of you. Our God reigns. You're reading the wrong Bible. All that conflicting stuff, I really believe, turns off people. For me personally, I went to a couple of different churches. One of my roommates, I was brought up Lutheran. One of my roommates took me to her church, which was Lutheran. And I sat there and listened to the preacher. And I was like, seriously, it was more preaching about how the woman belongs in the kitchen.
So let me ask you. Let me ask you, Tom. About how old are you? Do you mind?
I am 57.
Okay, so I'm sure, like Johnny and myself and many others, you were brought up in the church as a young boy.
I went to a parochial school. Yes.
Yes. So, sure. And you're not in church now.
I go to a church. I haven't been now since the pandemic.
So, my point.
To a church, but it's definitely not.
So Tom, that's the point that I'm trying to make. We have many of us are no longer practicing. I shouldn't say practicing. We're no longer in the physical buildings, and there's something that took us out of those buildings. It wasn't just the pandemic, because the pandemic is over for the most part, and we haven't returned. But I'm saying the foundation of all of this is what's missing in young lives. And I think we were a much better people when we had people, children who were brought up in those environments. I wish I had more time, man. Thank you very much for the call. Robert from West Dallas, we'll be coming to you after the break. Anybody can join. There's room for you at the end.
How appropriate, Earl.
449-67-2789. That's my colleague, Johnny Watermelon. We'll be right back.
Love of all. And if by chance that special place that you've been dreaming of place for your strength.
I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Now that girl. I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Good evening, sweet darling. May I ask your name? You seem to be lonely. Well, don't worry, I'm feeling the same. Oh, it's a groovy situation.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Again, if you're just joining us, well, really, I mean, the conversation is pretty broad, but at the root of it is whether or not you're still in church, whether or not your faith is still strong, whether or not, you know, scientific research has led you to question the faith, all those things. And at the end, I don't think we're a better country because there are less people in the temple, synagogue, mosque, or church. I think there are things that we see with our own eyes that lead us to know that we're not a better nation because there's less participation in those places. Let's go to Robert from West Dallas. Hey, Robert, thank you. You say what?
Morning. I think it's a number of factors. One, you know, growing up Catholic, obviously the church took a big hit there with the sexual abuse scandal. Numbers started to dwindle. As I got older, my wife and I started to attend a Lutheran church, and that didn't really appeal to us because she was a Congregationalist. And, you know, literally the person was pretty much trying to tell us how to vote and what women's roles were from the pulpit, and that just really didn't settle well with us. We eventually ended up at a more open church. And, you know, regardless of people's station, where they come from in life, their background, their orientation.
Non-denominational, right?
It's a UCC.
Okay.
But within that church, when we joined it, we heard about a split. So, you know, even that church, they weren't sure if they wanted to be open to all people and all backgrounds and all orientation. So they had a massive split there prior to us arriving. But one thing we've seen is since COVID, the numbers are down from families. They're not coming back. And I think a lot of it has to do with organized sports, believe it or not. It just seems like our society has put the traveling sports team up on a pedestal above basically, you know, coming to church each week and participating in various ways in the congregation. You know, Johnny or whoever it is out on a sports team and they're not available on Sunday. So what we've been trying to do is target those folks on mission trips to get those families back and get them involved again. But yeah, we definitely are missing them.
You know, Robert, man, that you are 100% correct with the sports thing, man. The families and following, you know, their children into sports supersedes anything else almost. And as a guy who used to run a sports organization, you know, I can't, you know, dispel anything that you just said, man. So how do you get them back?
We're not sure. If anyone has any ideas, I'd love to hear them because we have been unsuccessful so far. So we're really targeting those families with children, trying to get them to participate in mission trips as a way to get them back.
Hey, Robert, this is Johnny. I just got a quick question for you. You had mentioned in your dialogue earlier that there was you're participating in this organized church and there was a split. Mm-hmm. Now, that occurred because there was a difference in leadership in a philosophical thing or some kind of doctrine. What do you think split that group apart?
Yeah, they had two factions. So there were some people that wanted to welcome LGBT folks into their community. And there was a group that didn't, so they kind of split down the middle. Half of them joined their own church, and then half of them stayed, basically.
Well, you know, man, that has been kind of like the reasons that you have all the denominations, not just in Christianity, in Islam, and other religions, that all of these different denominations supposedly, you know, supporting the one God, right? You know, people
right,
having their differences.
It's interesting, though, because who's one God? So, I mean, all of this stuff is written based on the Prashoda, I think it is, like these old papers back
right.
in the day. And depending on who copied them and who wrote them down, they took their own biases into it and have different interpretations. So, I mean, if you think about it, you know, you go to church and you see the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus up there on the cross. Does anyone really believe that's what he was like if he was a man from the Middle East?
Well, there are people who definitely believe it. It doesn't mean it's
right.
the truth.
Yeah,
but
it's not accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I mean, was he a carpenter? You see a lot of wood in the Middle East anywhere?
Well, you know, his feet were like burnished brass in an oven, you know, and his hair was like lamb's wool. You know, so we do know that a lot of these things are allegorical.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say those things, it kind of upsets people and their beliefs. So, you know, I've learned over the years, it's not my position to try to get anybody to question their beliefs. That's not my role.
Yep.
I don't have a right to do that. People need to find out on their own. You agree with that, Robert?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the best thing we can do is be open to people. And if we appreciate, you know, the Lord or whatever God that you participate in, that you're doing it through acts of service. And I think that's where the prosperity folks get it wrong. They're so focused on, you know, building the mega church or the empire, and somewhere along the way, they lose the service part of, you know, whether it's Jesus or whoever it is, how are they serving people? That's really what it should come back to. And
right.
I think when the religion gets in trouble, they get things twisted. So,
All right. Hey
guys,
Robert, good stuff as always, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Karina. Hey, Karina, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Karina.
Earl, you know, I grew up in USSR, right?
Right.
So the socialism, which is, this is what it is, it's not a communism. When the people say, oh, Russia is a communist part, no, it's a socialism. We never get to the communism, okay? But the best part, the one part I want to stress is that it's an atheistic society. So by Marx, it says that the religion is the opium for a masses, all right? And we have that written everywhere. But the main point, when I came here, I went to Alverna College, and I took religious study because I grew up in atheistic society. And I wanted to know more about it, and for the next 4 years, every semester, I was taking different religion and reading about it. So COVID come, and there is a Wisconsin a Churches Association, and I was lucky to be able to contact with them, and the idea is for us to organize and bring more people for vaccination through the Wisconsin, and we were going from one church to another and trying to figure out how we can make it happen. The questions we've been asked, the group of people who are going in, oh, the people are going to come to a church? Oh, who's going to clean up? Oh, do you have a volunteer? I was so stunned and upset about all these questions because we're going for a church. Besides the point, this is where it comes from. Oh, I don't want these people in my church. I don't want that people in my church. Isn't it all about love? Isn't it about all exception? Isn't it, I mean, We're talking about Christianity. This is why Jesus, I assume, died on the cross, so the people will see the love, what was given to them, right? You can't say how we came about. We cannot say what is going to happen after life, because none of us are actually a witness, either side of the world. So we just have today, and why wouldn't we accept one little thing? Accept each other for who we are. That's it, isn't it?
You know.
And I think this is the problem. This is the problem with the religion, that any religion picks and chooses who they want to be with, who's crossing over that threshold when they walk into the religious
threshold.
You know,
yeah.
Hey, Karina, as always, really appreciate you sharing and your view on things. Always good. Thank you very much for the call. So, Johnny, you've heard a lot of different views since we started this conversation about almost an hour and a half ago, and it really does go to show that people have thought about these things.
Yeah, their mind.
Right.
Yeah, it resonates. I got to tell you, Earl, some of the callers, all of them, quite frankly, from my perspective, have really done a great service to explain where they're at in this aspect of the mysterious of faith and love. They're not only hitting the target, dude, they're hitting the bullseye. You know, it's really about sharing a good spiritual love connection. And great. You're going to a church, you're going to an organized thing. Perfect. You know, I was there, you were there. It doesn't hurt, okay? But you can still get a great experience at the park bench or when you're working out or whatever it is. So I just really enjoyed the dialogue and having an opportunity to chime in with you today. So thank you so much.
It just goes to show when I remember as a young man, people always said, man, you can't talk about religion. You can't talk about politics. And I know a lot of people who won't touch either one of them. It's that third rail, right? Well, we're not going to touch that one. Well, that's the problem. That's really the problem. There should be no subject that we should not be able to have a discussion about, right?
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. Yeah.
We should be able to have a discussion without people getting angry and about the fact that they don't like how you said what you said.
Right on.
You know.
Nobody gets to claim a righteous position because of their philosophy. You know, this is an open dialogue, dude.
Nobody's opinion is any better than anybody else's.
I'm with you.
Right? And so, you know, we live in a free society. That's what everybody says.
Right.
You have a right to your opinions. Isn't that what you were taught?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that what people fought and died for us to have that freedom?
It's my version
of the conversation.
Pursuit of happiness, dude, in my way.
So my thing is, even many of the people, and for all the people who called, really appreciate it, but there's so many people who are listening who, in some instances, sometimes are afraid to talk. But we'll be right back. Johnny Watermelon and Earl Ingram, we'll be right back.
Get a time like a big year. Oh, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination. You're something that I just can't miss. Baby, baby, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination that we should meet at a time like a day. Oh, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. Let me hear this.
Everyone will change. Everything will change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. No, no. Everyone must change. Nothing stays the same. The young become the old. Mysteries do unfold. 'Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds and sun lights up the sky and hummingbirds do fly.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I'm joined by my colleague, Johnny Watermelon, and if you're just joining us, you know, talking about where we are in the society, the fact that the foundations that many of us were raised with, you know, we've left, and the fact that there are young children who need to have that foundation who don't have it now. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Hey, Don, thank you very much for the call. You say what, my friend?
Good morning, Earl. Hey, great topic. Really enjoying the show.
Yeah, good morning, Don.
Yeah, I'd like to relate a little experience with my situation. When I was a younger fella, we always went to church. Churches were full, crowded. But as the years went on, I don't go as much anymore. And, the reason for that is, you know, when you're working every day, you kind of start swearing a little bit. In other words, I needed that Sunday to go to church to get myself squared away. And what I've been experiencing is that the pastor, instead of preaching out of the Bible, which I want, he's preaching all kinds of politics to me. And I got so darn discouraged. If I want that, I might as well stay home and watch Meet the Press. Why am I going to church? I just wanted to relate that to you, Earl, and God bless you for your work.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, man. I really appreciate it. Johnny?
Well, Don makes a really good point. I mean, why would you go there to get yelled at, you know, or to be have a certain doctrine preached at you? I just don't think that these guys ought to be doing that, using that kind of venue to steer people a certain way. This is a love connection, like we talked about earlier. You know, this is a holy experience. It should be treated with a little respect and not get into the political lane. I'm sorry. I agree with Don.
He is 100% correct. And that used to not be the case, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't ever recall any pastor when I was a young boy and a young man in the churches that I went to ever talking about politics, okay? Never. But that's a commonplace thing now, right? And that's left up to the individuals, right? That's the way it should be.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm like Dunn. If I'm sitting in the church and the pastor starts talking about, you know, maybe I should be not voting for Janet Protasiewicz, and I should be voting for, what's the guy's name?
Dan Kelly.
Dan Kelly. I'm getting up and walking out.
Yeah.
Come on, man. But you know that's taking place.
Well, for sure. It's just, you know, I never experienced it in my life, Earl, when I was a kid growing up, man. I mean, we went to church. You get this. You think you win a lot. I went to a parochial school, a Catholic deal. Every day before school started, we went to Mass. Okay? And that's a lot for a little kid to get indoctrinated into that whole thing. And that's just the way the deal was. But never once during that thing, and even on Sundays when we went as a family, not once did those people ever talk about a certain candidate or a philosophy, that sort of thing. It was just more about, you know, the Catholic doctrine. So there it is.
Well, you know, I want to make an announcement quickly before we get out of here. Tomorrow I'll be giving away a free pair of VIP tickets for the Charlie Barron's Live Cripes Cast taping with guest Mike Wagoner Monday, March 27th at 7 p.m. At the Comedy Club on State in Madison. We'll be giving those tickets away on tomorrow's show. So all you have to do is call in and be caller number 950.
I heard about this deal through the civic media grapevine. This is going to be a fun thing, man.
Yeah.
People ought to get up and get on the phone because that's going to be a fun venue.
Yeah, remember, you're going to have to be caller number 9,500 in order to qualify.
Cheer them up, Earl.
For those tickets. But, man, look, thanks to everybody who made the show go. Johnny, it's been a blast, man.
Yeah, always thanks for having me.
Love having you around.
Yeah.
Thank you, Calvin, as always, for manning the boat. And listen, if it's all about having dialogue and conversation, I'm honored to have a listening audience like you guys. I relish every day coming in here and getting an opportunity to exchange views with you. So thank you for, you know, listening. I'll be back on tomorrow. Did I hear right, man? 4 to 8
snow.
Inches of snow?
Yeah.
Are you sure that wasn't a misprint?
That they must be talking about someplace out west.
Calvin, is that true? Is that real? Did you miss that one?
I'll have to look into it.
Trust but verify.
Of snow? Come on, man. See you later.